Well, welcome to the Repos non-league show, and joined by, of course, a really good friend of mine, Mr. Craig Edwards, of course, now manager at Barking. Evening, Craig.
Evening, David.
And of course, the man who's got the most famous, one of the most famous voices for me, because whenever I speak to him, I see his voice, or hear his voice, should I say, but never see the face. But of course, Liam Davies as well. So it's great to have you on, Liam.
Thank you, Dave. That I always, when people ask that question, I have a face for radio, which I'm more than happy with that tag, Dave. It's one I've always lived up to, I believe.
We've also got Merthyr Town. They'll come and join us again as usual at about 22 quarter to eight tonight as well. And hopefully Craig will be with us, and maybe even the goalkeeper Jamie will join us again later on as well. But I mean, if it's right with you, Craig, because I know Liam's got to get off, pop off soon. So we'll talk to Liam first, if that's all right, mate. But I mean,
Yeah, no worries.
so Liam, you were saying there as we were sort of catching up before we went sort of press the record button. I mean, Dowsey's back. I mean, does that mean you're going to be coming back?
Who knows? You never know. I mean, obviously these days, as you know, Craig and I were talking a little bit off air, and you know, I said, you know, obviously these days I do more work for the non-league paper than anything else, covering mainly Braintree. Braintree Town in the National League, and you know, I do a few other games here and there. I was at Dagenham and Redbridge on Saturday. I did their game in the FA Trophy on Saturday against Tamwell, and I've done a few other games. People may have seen me at Uxbridge quite a few times this season, rather randomly in the Southern League. So most of the work I've been doing, you know, I haven't actually worked with Douse until since 2022, when he left Dartford, which I think, you know, looking back, really was a sad moment for him, because he the season before they finished second. You know, they'd beaten Ebbsfleet twice, who went up as champions that season. And you know, it was a bit unlucky, really. I think the second season the budget was a lot less. And I think got to January 22 and Douse was sacked. Dartford ended up going down that season, out of the National League South into back into the Isthmian League. But I do believe if they'd kept faith with Douse, I don't think that would have happened. I don't think they would have got relegated. I think every team's entitled to a bad season, you know, particularly when, you know, the budget is cut significantly, and we've seen many teams over the years who have one season where they really pump everything into a real challenge. And I think like Eastbourne, I think, are a really good example of that at the moment in the National League South. You know, they went, you know, hammer and tongue last season to get to go up, and were quite unlucky, and this season find themselves in the bottom four of the National League South. So, you know, I think, you know, it was a bit unlucky, but I'm delighted for him that he's got back in. I think, you know, he's a great manager, great guy. You know, Craig and I were again talking a little bit off air about what, you know, over the years. You know, I've known Douse for probably about 15 years now. And you know, we enjoyed some great times together. I think it's great that he's back at a club where he enjoyed a lot of success. You know, he was at Hampden before. He took over a club at the time that were, well, I don't want to, you know, speak ill of anything that had gone before, but at times when we went in there from to Hampden, it felt a bit like a Sunday league team, the way it was being run, and in terms of the playing side. And he made it more professional, brought in some great players. I think about like Jamal Lowe, for example, who's gone on and had a fantastic career in the Football League. And Nicky Kabamba as well, who enjoyed some great success at Barnet as well. So, you know, he won the Isthmian League, I think, in his second season as manager, took them up into the National League South, came within a whisker of taking them into the National League itself, lost in a playoff final to Braintree on penalties, and then got the Woking job, and you know, did a great job there, and again was probably a bit unlucky. So it's great to see him back at a club where, you know, he's enjoyed a lot of success. He was a great manager there in the years that he was there. I know the people at Hampden, you know, of and the fans there have always looked back fondly on Douse's time as manager there. So it's great to see him back. To answer your original question, I've gone round a lot of hours here to get your original question. You know, if Dowse called me, I would always help him out. It may be, of course, time has moved on and whatever, and you know, there may be different people at the club who are currently there who may be doing that role. I don't know at the moment whom. In terms of the backroom staff, I don't know if you'll see if Martin Tyler will be back with him. Or
I was going to say that was my next question: is Martin going in there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, Martin now, I mean, as most people will know, you know, was the voice of Sky Sports for 31 years, and left Sky 2 years ago. Didn't retire. Wasn't retiring. I think, you know, just as with anything in life, people maybe felt his time had come and, you know, it was time for a change and whatever. But Martin is still working. He's been spent the last 2 years working for the Round the World feed that the Premier League produce. He still does games, you know, he's still doing a couple of games a week. Even at his age, he is 80 now.
So, wow.
He's still getting around. I know he was doing a little bit of work at the Woking Academy as well. So you could, it's more than possible to see a return for Martin. But I would imagine also that Dowse will probably bring in a first team coach, I would imagine, to work with him. You know, somebody who's been around perhaps. You know, Dowse spent a little bit of time, obviously, at Aldershot earlier in the season working as a coach. But I would imagine now that Dowse is back as a manager, I would imagine he'll want someone in there who can bring, you know, a lot of experience in terms of coaching ability and all of that. So, yeah, I would expect you to see a strong kind of backroom team assembled over the next couple of weeks, I would imagine. He's only obviously been in there, I think, a few days before they played Maidenhead at the weekend and they lost that game. But, you know, I imagine this season the game will be simply to stay in the National League South, and then, you know, maybe, who knows, if there's some money put their way, that maybe next season they can have a bit of a tilt at, you know, maybe promotion. But all of that is obviously far in the future. The first aim of the game, really, for Dowse will be, I imagine, to keep Hampton in the National League South. And he's done that before in the Isthmian. I remember when they first went in there, they were bottom, I think, when he first went in. They'd just been knocked out of the FA Cup by a team way lower down. So, yeah, I think he'll be great for them.
Will you still be working at 80, Craig?
Where?
Will you still be working at 80?
What? I've got another about 30 years for that. Liam said, I had some great battles with Dowse over the years, you know, and he's a top guy, top manager. And him and Martin was always a real good double act, you know, and they were always, you know, we'd always have a beer afterwards and proper old school, you know. Couldn't understand a word he said all the time.
I don't think many people do, Craig, to be fair.
God knows what he was calling me, but, you know.
No, I don't think, to be honest, I think most people, I mean, I still could got memories of voicemails from Dowse where I think I've had to play the voicemail about five or six times to try and have some understanding of what he was asking me to do and which game he wanted me to go and see and all this kind of thing. And, you know, what formation did I play? I had to sort of decipher it. You know, it's almost
I thought you was his interpreter.
Well, I think I was for quite a number of years. So.
You had Google Translate on.
Great guy.
Top man.
He's done. And I think the words that Craig used about old school, you know, and I think, you know, all of us here have sort of been watching football for a long time. And, you know, sometimes what we see, you know, the sort of modern way and sort of this project and coach and all this kind of stuff, it's great. But, you know, it's also at the same time, it's great to see some sort of old school football and some old school managers who still kind of, I don't know, do things a way that maybe it was done 10 years ago, because sometimes there's nothing wrong with that either. And I think sometimes in the modern way, we lose thought of that in some respects.
I mean, with the radio though, Liam, I mean, how's that going?
Yeah, good. And you've been a guest, Dave, over the years. We were due to do it recently, but of course, as my voice still indicates, I've still got a blooming heavy cold. It's still not shifted. I think I've been looking after it too well, to be honest with you. But great. We're lucky enough to have some good guests and whatever, and you know, keeps busy. And obviously, as I say, with the non-league paper stuff as well now, I mean, it's sort of, you know, you're out and about doing sort of different games here and there. So yeah, good. It's always nice to be busy, as I always say.
And that's what it is. I mean, non-league is just one of those big things, isn't it? I mean, there's been a lot going on in non-league this week. We won't go into it on air anyway. But I mean, there's been a lot going on, you know, sort of bad press, you know, in the last week or so. But I mean, other than that, I mean, the non-league's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, I think so. I mean, I think what's great about it, and you know, and Craig also will know this because he's been a manager in non-league for a long, long time, is that many people feel when they go and watch non-league, they're watching real football. You know, whilst we all enjoy watching Premier League football, and I do, you know, it's at times can feel quite synthetic now in terms of, you know, I mentioned there a little while ago about old school. A lot of modern football, I find, you know, the sort of project management. It's a word that used to be associated with business, and now has become to associated with football. Sort of all this playing out from the back, and everything's got to be done that way. And all of the managers dress like Pep, as well as play like him now. And I even see managers and teams in League Two and whatever trying to play like that. And well, it's, you know, I suppose people say, well, it's evolution rather than revolution. The game has always had that. There is something about non-league that when you go and watch it, you feel like you are watching football from another era. And I think that is nice to have that because, you know, particularly when I'm watching games, like, you know, and I watched a game on Saturday, but I said earlier, Dagenham and Redbridge against Hamwell in the FA Trophy. And it felt, you know, it felt like a real old school cup tie, which, you know, sadly, I think today we don't see enough of at the top level because, you know, some teams, and we're going to see it in a few weeks' time when we get to the FA Cup third round, you'll see, you know, a lot of the Premier League sides and probably even Championship sides, even League One teams who will field weaker teams, which is sad because, you know, but to them teams, promotion and the aim of getting to the Premier League and earning the money that they could earn from being in the Premier League is far more important than sort of winning the FA Cup or having a run in the FA Cup, which maybe to some club chairman is important because it brings in revenue. But I wonder to managers and players now, to be honest, I think the only goal for a lot of them is to end up playing in the Premier League. That's because that is really where it all is about, to be honest.
Well, we had the discussion the other day, actually, around the fact that You get these non-league sides that go in, you know, even National League, you know, National South and North and so forth and lower down, that they should be guaranteed a Premier League side at home.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an argument around seeding. I've often thought that, you know, and there's a couple of nice ties that have come out. I mean, I'm thinking things like Portsmouth against Arsenal, Charlton against Chelsea. You know, these are nice draws, really. Yeah. For those clubs. But then I looked at some of like, I mean, obviously some people say like Macclesfield, for example, that's a fantastic draw for them, you know, National League North team getting Crystal Palace at home. But then I felt for teams like sort of like the Boreham Woods of the world and sort of that, you know, the sort of, you can see their managers sort of pull a face when they got their draw in the third round. But even some of the other teams, I'm thinking about teams in like League Two and that, you know, there is an argument, a strong argument for particularly the third round draw. I'm not, maybe beyond the third round, maybe you could say, well, it doesn't really matter too much. But I do think for the third round draw, it would be nice for, you know, some sort of seeding maybe of Premier League and Championship clubs. But then people's other argument to that will be, well, if you seed all the Premier League clubs, you're still going to have 20 Premier League clubs in the fourth round, whereas I know there are quite a few all Premier ties
I think what they would do is, if like this year, I think there was two, three non-league sides into round three. then you just put they're the first three in there, one, two, three, and then you pull out a Premier League side to play them away, and then all those Premier League sides then get just chucked into the main bowl again. Do you know what I
Yeah, I
mean?
mean,
And then pull it out from there, so they could get each other still all the way through, but just the non-league sides get the opportunity to play a Premier League side.
yeah.
In the London Cup last year, or I don't know if they've kept it this year, but if you drew a pro side, and I think there were seven or eight pro sides in the London Cup, mainly they're under 23s now, but obviously they're great games for the non-league club. If you drew them away, they had to play at your ground, so they always had to come to your ground. And we did really well, got the semi-final, and we drew Brentford, Premier Division side. And we should have been at home because we've drawn away, but it was written in all their rules, plain black and white. Anyway, they wanted it played at their ground, and the London FA succumbed. And it was really poor because for us to play Brentford at home in the semi-final of London Cup would have been massive for our club, and they went against their own rules, and I thought it was so poor. And I thought it was a good rule. It was a good rule, to bring pro clubs out. It brings people out, people that probably never been to Barking. Oh, there's loads of chimneys round to think, oh, Brentford are coming from the Premier Division, be it their 23s or whatever. It would have been massive for our club. And they killed us with that. And we went out like 3-2. But it left a real sort of bitter taste in my mouth that did, that they'd sort of overturned their own rules. But I know I think they're so worried about like Brentford saying, well, we won't go in it next year.
Well, I mean, I was down at Waltham Abbey this year when they played Leyton Orient. In a pre-season game, I think it was the last pre-season game of the season. And you're thinking, right, they're going to bring down sort of a mixture of the first team stroke, probably 75% of the under 23s, but you was expecting, I don't know, maybe 300, 400 people through the gate on that night. Do you know what I mean, to come and see the game, and it was ridiculous. There was like over 1,200 in there. It was unbelievable. And then Abbey took the lead as well. Do you know what I mean? And it was only because they tired. They got tired at the end and they lost 3-1. But it was a fantastic game, and the atmosphere was just incredible. And you just think, what a great thing for Waltham Abbey. Do you know what I mean? It was half price tickets as well. Do you know what I mean? It was to get in.
And I wonder how many of them 1,200, you think will start coming back. Even if they ain't regular, they come back because they enjoyed it over there. And that's what disappointed me, that we might have got quite a few new supporters out of it.
I mean, we have kind of seen it a little bit in the League Cup. If you think in the League Cup, in the third round now, and it's been forced on them really because of obviously the expansion of the European competitions, where obviously the Champions League sides are all seeded in the third round draw of the League Cup to keep them apart, because obviously they need to stagger the weeks where they play them third round ties in the League Cup. So you kind of seen a sort of an experiment around seeding. And in some respects, I don't think that's a bad thing, because actually, why not? I think it's for the wrong reasons because of the way that the European competitions have been expanded. But if you think, really, it's actually not a bad thing to have that, because actually it means that these teams play not each other, and probably will pull out a football league club and earn them a decent payday.
Well, I saw that there's a competition going on in Brazil or somewhere in the middle, or America somewhere in the middle, Continental Cup or something, where it's all like the winners of like the European Cup and the Libertadores or whatever it's called, all that sort of stuff. But Paris Saint-Germain have been seeded and go straight to the final, and then all the rest of them are fighting off to play them in the final. What a strange set of affairs.
Because they won the Champions League, so they probably get straight through it. Because obviously now the Club World Cup is played in a sort of pre-season tournament now, so obviously they've changed the whole dynamic of that.
I think what you're saying about the seeding would be a great idea, because at the end of the day, you're not going to get a League Two club or a non-league club get to the semi-finals, finals, and that. So they get their they get a great tie out of it, hopefully, and have a bit of a run. But ultimately, I think every supporter who's not necessarily involved in non-league, and even if they are, when they get to the sort of semi-finals, finals, they want to see, I don't know, Arsenal, Man City, or Liverpool, Man City, that's they're the finals they want to watch. They don't want to watch a championship side who's done well and got there. They want to watch the big guns fighting each other in a final.
Yeah, because you get to those semi-finals, don't you, sometimes, and there'll be like two smallest clubs, two bigger clubs, and then you'll get the two bigger clubs get drawn against each other in the semi-final. And then straight away, the final is a dead rubber, yeah. Almost. You know what I mean? In a way. Yeah. But it is what it is. But Craig, I mean, we're barking. I mean,
yeah,
you did going great guns, but did have a bit of a sticky patch, didn't you, between the 28th of October and then the, what is it, down to the 29th of... down to the 15th of November. So it was five or six games there without a win.
Yeah, we had a poor run and we started off quite well, which pleased me because we had a complete change round from last year and we were doing well, but we had, like most teams do during the season, we had a sticky period. And the problem we had, I mean, we play on a 4G pitch and at home we was phenomenal. First six games, we won six, scored 20 and had three against. And we played unbelievable football, you know. But we found it difficult to transition when we went away and we were getting beat on, when you play on sometimes not the best pitches, grass pitches, bit muddy, bit boggy. And we struggled with it. And we had a few of these games back to back. And we're top scorers in the league. But we were going for too many goals, and away from home, we was top of the league form at home in the bottom half away. So it told its own story, and going for too many goals. But in the last month, what's really pleased me, we've been away to Great Wagering, Little Oakley twice, once in a cup, and Basildon on Saturday, who had only lost 2-11. So you're looking at us four real tough games away, all on sort of like grass pitches, some of them not the best. And we were unbeaten in them and only conceded two goals. You know, so we won three of them and drew one. And that one we should have won. So, you know, all positive signs at the moment. But, you know, you know what football's like. It can change it on one game. You know, but we're in a good place at the moment. Mm. The squad's looking strong. We're getting players back. And so it's just where we can make up the ground on the top two, because you know that will take some doing.
Were you surprised a little bit? I suppose I am, but then I'm not sort of knowing the squad depths and squad strengths in Essex. I would have said the top three. If you was asking me to guess at the beginning of the season, I would probably turn around and say, well, the top three would be Barking, Woodford, Great Wagering in any order. So are you quite surprised that, you know, that it's, you know, you guys are third, fourth, fifth and Little Oakley and Soul Tower Hamlets and that Terry Spillane sitting in there in second place?
Yeah, no, to be fair, they're two good sides. I mean, we've actually played Little Oakley three times this year and won two and drew one, you know, and we've done well against them. But I looked at them and they look a solid side, you know, they look a solid outfit. But as you know, and I know, like, the second half of the season is when it really matters, when it really kicks in. So I've got a lot of good players. And you think, yeah, but you see it in this league. I mean, they went to Wakering and got bashed 4-0 Saturday. You know, it is a tough league. You know, there's not a lot between the top and bottom. And it's who can sort of, if you like, do the business in the second half of the season when it really matters. But they've got a decent lead, and we're going to have to really be consistent now to pull it back.
But we were talking about old style managers earlier on, and Terry Spillane pops his head up above the parapet down at Salt Tower Hamlets.
Yeah, in Johnny Fields over there. They're doing well. They've gone in now this year and got a lot of good players in there. I mean, we had a game with them a couple of weeks ago, our last defeat. And could have gone either way. I thought we at the wrong end of a couple of iffy decisions, but it could have gone either way, but they won it 2-1. And it was a bad loss for us because it was a big game for us. But thankfully, we've managed to get back on a winning run. and we'll be doing all we can, to close that gap up.
I mean, was that the plan though, at the beginning of the season, to get up this year, get
of
yourself
course,
back into that?
I mean, it's just, I mean, whether it's being deluded or what, I mean, that's my plan every season I've ever gone into. You know, is to get promoted, and I think that I found it very, very difficult, if you like, going into step five, and basically it was the mentality of, I mean, last year I think I had something like 14 players out from November when I took over to the end of the season through non-footballing reasons. Like, you know, they've gone away, they've got this going on, they've got that going on. And I found that very difficult to accept because it's not something I was used to with the clubs I'd been at before. But I found, you know, and it's no disrespect to any of the players from last year or this year, but I find that players at this level tend to build football around their lives. Whereas as you go up the leagues, it tends to be building their lives around their football.
It's quite funny though, Craig, how you say that. I don't know if Liam's noticed it as well, but I mean, I speak every week to sort of like the Weir manager and the Welling Garden City manager and the Abbey manager on our Sunday show, and you hear them talk, you know, saying, oh well, he's gone away this week, and this one's gone away that week, and this one's gone away this week, and this, and you're thinking, Struth, what's going on? I've never heard this before. It's normally like, you know.
I think it's maybe I'm being a bit tough on the level. I think it is a thing now in society and football that they're not necessarily as dedicated, you know, unless they're training away from the pitch and everything else. But having said that, I mean, the group I've got together now, they're bang on it. And we've got a real strong mentality with the group we've got in there now. And that's what I think the biggest turnaround from the season has been. You know, like you say, we started off well, and then when we got into that bad run, I just felt that the mentality weren't there to turn it around. But God forbid, but if we lost a game or two with the group we got now, I would have no doubt about it. You know, that we've got some real proper leaders, proper characters in there now that I think would more in tune with what I'm used to. And it's not easy to get players like that, you know. And but we have now, you know, we've got a strong squad, good mentality about them, great dressing room. We always have great dressing rooms, but they know if you like the rules and how we do things, you know. And sometimes it's difficult to get that across, particularly like I say, when you drop down the levels, but. But this, like I say, I'm really pleased with the group I've got now, and I think it's reflecting in the form we're showing.
Mm. Well, should just introduce you guys to the two guys that have just popped up on your screen, if you've seen them on your screen, Craig and Liam. But we have got the man that sent my social media going bonkers about 2 weeks ago, and of course, Jamie, he's back. So welcome back, Jamie.
Cheers, David. How are you?
Not too bad, sir. Not too bad. And of course, he's had 2 weeks off. He's
oh, been relaxing, mate. Been relaxing on the beaches of Merthyr.
So, guys, joining us is Liam, Liam Davis, of course, and he used to be the Chiefs. What was your exact role now, mate? Chiefs?
Chief Scout at Kingstonian, Hampton, Richmond, Woking, Dartford, for a number of years that I care to remember, really. But great, happy years. I'm going to have to love you and leave you at this point, Dave. But I'll leave you with the capable hands of the two guests, just that and Craig, of course. But it's been lovely coming on and coming back on the show after a number of years, because I can remember when you were working at Harlow Town, and that's how long you've been doing the show. I know Harlow are back as a club, but that's how long you've been doing this program.
15 seasons, and that was back in a shoebox. Yeah,
great memories. But it's lovely to come back on, Dave, and thanks to Craig and everything. It's been lovely coming back on.
No, great to have you on, mate.
Cheers, cheers, guys. Good luck. Take care. Bye bye.
BLM. Bye-bye.
And of course, the living legend, absolute living legend, Mr. Craig Edwards, of course, manager at Barking. And I'm not sure if you've met each other previously and when you Murphy have played any of Craig's
No,
sides. He's been around the block, let me tell you. But he's
no.
yeah,
As you can see.
he's the main man, aren't you, Craig? But I mean, Craig, just before we go to the lads, I mean, pushing forward now. I mean, the club itself has had, I suppose it's good news that Romford have signed another 2-year lease with the club as well. So that helps the coffers out a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they're a good group over there, and Rob's pleased with them. He said they've been great over there. So yeah, and it gives a bit of security to them and to us, So all the best, all the better for it.
And you've got Ilford this weekend, and then
No,
I say no. Say no. You've got another week on you. You've got a weekend off, and then Ilford
Oh,
this
yeah,
week. You've booked
I
their
don't
chance,
know how that's worked out, honestly. But I'm best pleased about it. But we've nothing we can do.
you got
We're
so
going to
it.
Canvey tomorrow for a friendly.
Oh, nice.
So we can give all the boys that ain't didn't play Saturday, they can all play, and keeps everyone on their toes.
And then the big one, first game of New Year in Soul Town Hamlets.
Yeah, we were away to Seoul. So yeah, it's just we play them twice basically in a month, So that's a good game to, but there's lots of good games to look forward to, We'll look forward to going over there and hopefully putting on a good show and getting a result.
No, absolutely. But of course, I'm not sure if you know where Merthyr are in the standings, Craig, but they're up to step two now,
Oh,
and knocking on the door for step one.
brilliant. Ah, fantastic. Oh, funny enough, the only game I've ever had in Wales was probably one of the biggest games I've had for different reasons. We went to Newport when I was at Fulham United, that was in the National South. And on the Tuesday, the chairman, Jimmy Chapman, he called me and he said, like, your team's outgrown our club. He said, I can't afford to do it anymore. He said, I've got to cut the budget. I said, like, to what? He said, 900 quid. I said, you're joking. I said, you're joking. And he said, no. So I've gone in, and we were doing well. I think we was eighth in the league. And I've gone in the dressing room, and I've told the players, look, this is what's happened, blah, blah, blah. But we're going really well. We're a great group here. And this was on the Tuesday night. I said, and things are going well. I want you to hang it out, stick it out, for the rest of the season. And now, like, yeah, okay. Then on the Thursday, we had three players in, and I've literally had to get a team together on the Friday, and we got loanees in from Orient. I've got pulled a couple out of our youth team. Got a goalkeeper in. He gets the ump when I see him, like from Sunday morning. But that's where I'm going wrong. But he played better. And anyway, so we went down to Newport on the coach. We had 12 players, me, my assistant, no physio, and the club secretary. That was it on the coach, like in a 50-odd seater coach. So it was like, and we've gone down to Newport, got there, big crowd, absolutely bucketing down with rain. And we've gone out there anyway. So we was under the cosh, broke away, and we scored. And so we 1-0 up, but and this is in the first 20 minutes, and we had a player, no disrespect, was absolutely nowhere near the level. And I said to me, manager, assistant manager, I said, we've got to get him off. He said, you can't take him off. He said, he's come all the way to Wales. Can't take him off after 20 minutes. I said, we've got to. And we only had a youth team boy, Petri Elby, who you might know. We only had him on the bench, so I took him off, and he half looked relieved, to be honest. So took him off. So we're battling away. We're under the cosh all the way through. Breakaway, get a corner. Ball comes in, big Chrissy Wilde, bang, heads it in. We're 2-0 up. I can't believe it. And then, right on half time, he's the referees give him honestly a real soft penalty, and I'm thinking, oh. So they score it, and we go in half time 2-1 up. And I thought they're going to absolutely annihilate us in the second half. And so we go out playing anyway. So once again, break away, make it 3-1. And I was just like, it was like a dream. And then for the last 20 minutes, that 20 minutes lasted 4 hours. He kept us, he's pulled save after save after save. We just, and then they've scored with about 10 minutes to go. And I thought, oh, and we're begging for the whistle at the end. That last 10 minutes lasted forever. Anyway, we've held on, whistle goes. We've run in the centre circle. We've celebrated like we've won the FA Cup. Anyway, so we're going, all going crazy. As we're going up, God, they give us some stick, their supporters. And really having a go at us. And a couple of players took umbrage and it got a bit naughty. Anyway, so we've gone in. The chairman's come down to see us. He said, I'm sorry about it. I said, listen, we weren't taking the mickey. I said, but this is what's happened this week. And for us to come down here and get a result like this is phenomenal. He said, oh, no worries. We'll sort of went upstairs, bought us all a drink, the old squad and that, and give us a meal, like a take away all the boys and on the coach. Absolute gentleman. And yeah, that was a great, great win. One that will always stick in my memory. And that was my only time playing in Wales.
You don't want to do that too often. You'll keep cutting the budget then. On the Sunday, you'll be £500 next week.
Yeah. But lads, I mean, no game at the weekend. Nice little rest for you guys. But I mean, looking forward, the flying game must have been a great game, wasn't it? Only going down by a goal to nil.
It wasn't. We didn't have a weekend off. We had the team bonding day out.
Oh, right.
Saturday. So I think there's a few tired bodies, probably more tired than when we play a game, to be perfectly honest. It was a long old shift Saturday. But yeah, no, it was nice just to have everyone get together and like I say, it was a bit of team bonding and the final game was a good game. It was tough. We took them right to the wire, to be fair. So I think even though we lost the game, I think we can take a lot of confidence from it, from the performance. We did have a couple of key players missing that game as well. So to go and not really lose out away from home, the top of the league by one goal was, and we had plenty of chances we could have got something from it. So we were a bit disappointed afterwards that we didn't get something from it. So, yeah, I think it's probably a good time for us to have reflected on where we got to so far and realised that, you know, we can be competing at that end of the table, to be honest.
An incursion coming up.
Yeah, Curzon Saturday. So I think it's, believe, first time we've played someone twice then. We play them. So it's the first time we will have played a team twice in the league at this level. So it'll be a good indication of where we're at after playing them again. We had a good, comfortable win away to them. But I'm sure they'll have learnt lessons from that game and will come all guns firing. I know they've picked up quite a bit since then. That was earlier in the season. So, last game before Christmas. So look forward to it.
Did I see as well at the weekend it was the Welsh Sports Personality of the Year at the weekend?
I don't know. None of us got invites to it. So
I was going to say, because the only reason I asked was because I saw one of your fans tweet saying it was supposed to be the Welsh Sports Personality of the Year at the weekend. And someone put on there that Ricardo was one of the favourites to win it. So that's why I asked the question.
So it had personality in there, so you couldn't be any.
I'm only joking, Rick. I'm only joking.
No, first I've heard of that.
But I mean, with it over, Jamie, I mean, good game for you though, going up there.
Yeah, it was. Obviously, like Craig said, going away to the top of the league, get there, and the stadium's lovely. It's amazing. All the boys looking round, the fans enjoying themselves. I think we bought a bus or two up. So for me, it was just an indication of where the club's come. And it was one of those, I think, at the end of the game, although you'd lost and you're so disappointed, I think that disappointment was almost, for me anyway, one of the most exciting parts of the thing. You come away from one of those games and you're like, boys are genuinely gutted. I think that just shows where we are. But yeah, no, it was really exciting, and I think we gave a good account of ourselves.
So you actually get to play on Boxing Day. Is it not many clubs playing Boxing Day this year?
Yeah, I think we've got Oxford away, so early kickoff for that one. I think they're trying to get it in on Sky. But no, it'd be good. And then we've got a big game against Hereford then on the 30th at home. So expecting a big crowd up there. Obviously a localish derby. But yeah, very exciting.
What about Christmas this year for you, though, Jamie? I mean, is it do you get to see any family at all?
Yeah, lucky enough, I've got my dad and my brother coming over. So you can tell two blokes booked it. We're landing in Heathrow around 10 o'clock Christmas Eve. So no consideration for the driver there, but no, it should be good. They're here and watch a few games. My dad's been up before, but he loves coming up. He feels like one of the fans, is a proper, well-run community club, so he enjoys every minute of it.
I love the way you say he's coming up. It's a little bit further than
Yeah,
that,
I'm not sure of my geography if it's up or down. It's
isn't
you just shut your eyes for 24 hours and then you turn up.
it's quite funny because they were saying on. I don't know if you guys probably don't watch it, but it was on that Strictly yesterday night, and the Australian guy on there, his mum had left work on the Friday, travelled over, watched the sun plane. She's got to be back at work on Monday. All the way back to Australia. Stop
Brutal.
that, regover soldiers.
That's brutal.
We about 2 or 3 years ago, we had a goalkeeper. He's only 16 or 17 training with us, and we were in the goalkeepers having a chat and all that before the game. And he's gone, oh, Cogs, are you going to go home for Christmas? Obviously, we're preparing for the Boxing Day game. I was like, yeah, mate, I'll be heading off, and I'll make sure I'm back for the game. And he no thought, no consideration of how that actually works. Bless him.
Oh dear. But I mean, but yourself, Craig. I mean, all set.
What, for Christmas?
Yeah.
We're all going to one of, I mean, I've got 9 grandkids now, and we're all going over to one of my daughters. She's having us all, hosting us all. So I'm really looking forward to that, and we're all set. And fortunately, we've got no Boxing Day. We ain't got a game to the, because our balls this year to the Saturday, the 27th. We've got nothing New Year's Day, and Saturday we play Seoul on the 3rd. So yeah, so it's not too disruptive, but a Christmas.
What about you, Craig? The other Craig.
I don't do a lot over Christmas. The wife and kids sort that out, to be honest. And I sit there, I'm like all the other fathers, surprised when the kids open a present, and I'm just as surprised as they are to see what they're opening. So yeah, I'm lucky that
Actually,
preparations are.
I'll keep saying we're going, me and the missus, we're going down to Wales, like Llanelli. Llanelli. Yeah,
Honestly.
the one. The old captain from Chesham, he's a Welsh lad, he's moved back down now. Sean Cronin, I don't know if you know him.
I know Sean. I know Sean. Still, still playing.
Is he? Yeah, he was fantastic. Wonderful, but we used to play darts all the time at Chesham at the club, and he'd come in his Welsh shirt because, like most, well, he's very, very nationalist. I'd have my English shirt on, and we'd have these, but even there to this day, if I don't know, Welsh Englishman beats a Welshman in the darts or the pool or pool snooker, I'll be straight on the phone to him. And we used to have some right old battles in there. But he's got a he's made like a little man cave there, and he's got his and keeps we keep saying we're going to get down now, and that. But I've got I don't know I've got to tell you something. We went down to where was it? We went down by Monmouth. We was down this coast, and so anyway, we're going down to breakfast at the hotel. Welsh couple there, absolutely fantastic host, brilliant host. So I'm looking at the menu, and it's Welsh breakfast. So I said, okay, and I've looked at it all, sausage, egg, bacon, but and I said to him, that's not what, that's an English breakfast. He said, not when it's cooked by a bloody Welshman, it ain't. And I told that to Sean, he loved it. He loved it. We had right battles in that, but he's a top lad and he was a top player for us. And yeah, I seen he's still doing it at his age.
Yeah, I'm sure he scored and got sent off last week. I'm sure
that's about right. That's
it. Yeah, I'm sure he did. Yeah, I'm sure he did.
I mean, did I see St. Kilts as well, Jamie? That St. And Craig, that there was something rearing in golden eggs this week.
There was what?
Something very rare, like golden eggs this week. Did I not see Ricardo go on the on a podcast?
Ricardo on a podcast? I don't know.
I thought you were going to say a clean sheet there, Dave.
I saw advertisements.
You might have done, yeah, he done the clubs. He did the clubs one, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that on there. I thought, wow.
Yeah. He's not. He doesn't really do a lot of appearances. To be fair, he very rarely does interviews after the game or anything. He's not keen on that. He's happy to just score his goals, collect his match ball, and go off home and celebrate there. But we've got a supporters club one, and I think him, Matty, and Tom did that one last week. So yeah, I know Louis, who hosts it, has asked me about going on, and I've tried to delay it as long as I can. So yeah, I'm happy to keep pushing the boys into it, to be honest.
Well, there's so many comments of saying how funny the story was of you guys, Jamie, popping on the old golf carts, going up to the toilet on the golf course.
Couldn't ride it up. As I said, we try to do everything as professional as you can, but sometimes there's things outside your control. So we try and have a laugh along the way. We've got a good bunch of boys. So for me, that's why you do it. There's no point sort of just, you got to enjoy it, haven't you?
How good was the team building at the weekend?
Still suffering, so it must have been okay. I think some of the boys met up at like, 12:30 Saturday afternoon in Cardiff. A few drinks throughout the day, and then we went to Bingo Lingo 6 o'clock Saturday night, which was a very hazy memory of that, if I'm honest. I don't think one bingo card was marked when we were in there. And then we kind of all went off to a few pubs and clubs around Cardiff, and I think we got home around 4-ish maybe. 4 o'clock in the morning, yeah. So it was, it was good. It was, we're back into training tomorrow, so I'm sure there'll be plenty of stories being shared around tomorrow. To be honest, we haven't really had a lot of those team bonding sessions for a while, if I'm honest. Like last year, we were just so busy, with the Christmas schedule and things. So obviously we won the league and we went and celebrated well in the summer, but we haven't really had too many of those team bonds. Just, we didn't have a game. We looked at the trophy. We tried to get a couple of teams to place in the league, but for whatever reason, they chose not to. And so we just decided to make the most of it and get everybody together. And that was a good turnout, to be fair. The analysts were out. The physios were out. It was a very good turnout. So that was a good day.
Was the boss out?
He showed his face and made an appearance. But he had three functions to be at on Saturday in total. So he didn't stay too long. He showed his face, and which is probably best for a manager, I would suggest, after everybody's had a drink and wants to question your decisions and why they're not in the team or why he's playing in that position and what have you. So I don't blame him, but he left. Yeah,
I was waiting for your lady wife to put her head round to the camera and tell us how good a night you did have.
What's that?
I was waiting for your lady wife to put her head round into the camera and let us know what type of night you did have.
Yeah, no, she would be fast asleep by the time I got home, so absolutely no idea what time I got in. But I know a bank account is taking a good hit, I know that much.
obviously you're doing really well from in third in the league and from your promotion last year. Did you have much of a change around playing start wise?
No, very, very few, to be honest. We've brought one or two in, but so Kane Simpson left in the summer. Was Renbills left in the summer?
That's probably not I can think.
No, so we wanted to keep everyone. We've got a very young squad there. I mean, Jamie's what, 22 now, and I think the majority of the squad are 22. We got one or two then, maybe 24. We got Matthew, the club captain, who's 106, and most of them are quite young. So no, look, we got a lot of ability in the squad. We knew that, and it was a case of, once these boys had the opportunity, we sure they'd be able to take it. So no, there's a lot of potential in the squad, and they are at good ages. So yeah, we didn't change too many, and that was a conscious decision to give boys the opportunity. So yeah.
Because when we went up from the Isthmian Prem to the National South when I was at Cheshunt, and probably the best set of lads I've had. They were fantastic, got us promotion, and I thought they'd be good enough and they deserved the opportunity to play in the South.
Yeah.
But we lost 10 of our first 11, and but we actually got we us. Had a chat with the staff and said, "Look, we've got to change it when we're going down as we are." And we made it. We ended up. We did go down, but in the final week of the season, we made a really good fist of it. We beat Ebbsfleet on the way, beat a few good sides, and we took it to the final week of the season. But it was those first 11 games that I think where Wardo, obviously they got us relegated. And
Yeah.
always think to myself, I don't know whether I place loyalty over,
Yeah. That's always the trouble then. Yeah. Once you win that league, you do have good memories with those boys,
of
and
course,
you
and
obviously had good results of it, so you do tend to go there. But
yeah,
yeah, it's a tricky one, that. It is a tricky one.
it is,
And
and that's why I asked you, the question, how you gone with yours,
yeah.
and
No,
obviously it's worked out for you. I mean, but having said that, I swear that if I had a season like I had the season before. Because we were unbelievable that season, If I and not just that, it was just such an enjoyment to go into the club. Great set of lads, you couldn't wait to go in all the time. And if I had to do the same again, would I? I'd still do the same again.
Yeah.
Obviously you try to do different things to get the results you would, but I thought that it's something I haven't regretted in a way that I did it, because I think I did it for all the right reasons. I
Yeah.
did honestly think they would be good enough, but they weren't.
Yeah.
And we
Yeah.
played, and you know what it's like. We played a lot of really top sides in the cups. Like we had a great run in the trophy, and we beat. I think we beat three National League sides on the way there.
Yeah.
We went to Stockport. We ran away with the National League that year. And I honestly fancied us to beat them, and we lost 1-0, and they were a better side, but we had the better chances in the game, and so, but that's where it could, cup football is sort of like as
Yeah.
opposed to week in, week out of the league can sort of, if you like, give you a false impression.
We've gone out to the caps, and I think long term is probably a good thing. I mean, you want to have a run in those caps, don't get me wrong. The rewards are massive. So we haven't tired and go, we leave the caps this year. We weren't good enough on the day in those cup competitions, in fairness. But I do think long term is, it's such a tough physical league. Where we are, and I think long term is probably for the best, if truth be told. However, that, like I say, the rewards are so good, you're not turning it down if you get the opportunity. So yeah, it's disappointing going out of the caps, but we haven't got a big squad. We only got a small squad of about 18, 19 players, first team. So those cup runs can hurt you as well then.
Craig, they are playing it down a little bit, mate. Let me tell you some of the achievements, mate. I don't know if you've seen some of the results, if you pulled some of them up. I mean, they've had an incredible season so far. They beat Macclesfield 3-1 at Macclesfield. They've also drew a 2-2 with Chester at Chester. They only went by one goal to Kidderminster. They've beaten Darlington by 3-1. And they've also beaten South Shields by 3-1. Yeah,
You've done
so
okay.
great results, no?
That incredible.
But it's a tough league, and you're going to get games like that most weeks. You're playing teams that are very, very good, and it is a real, I think like in most leagues, the standard seems to go up every year, and it's I think if you win any league, particularly in non-league And it's you've got to be had so many qualities, because you get so much you have to deal with, like in non-league, you know. In I mean, I know the pitches are really decent there in the National League, but you know, at our level, you can be playing on, like we play on a 4G in our stadium, and we could be going to a bog on Tuesday, playing in Gale Force winds. Saturday, you could be playing, it's a nice sunny day on a beautiful pitch. And you have so many different conditions to deal with. And that's why the best team, to me, always wins the league, but also the strongest team mentally as well.
Mm.
Well, we stopped the league right now. And of course, you're in the playoff semi-finals.
Take that. Take that.
Yeah,
long way to go yet, Don. There's a long, long way to go yet. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. And I think, you know, sides will... I think we'll get a bit of respect off these sides when we play them now. But at the same time, I mean, you know, the secret out, if it was a secret, if they hadn't done their homework, they know, certainly know over us now. And the way we've played, and we've played the same way for a few number of years, and we played our strengths, but we do play good football. The sides will now, you know, look at that and try and combat that. But, you know, and Matty touched on the other week, we have had a few hide-ins as well along the way. We've had a couple of games where we have been humbled. So, you know, certainly not going to get carried away, and the manager wouldn't allow that to happen anyway. But, you know, people can get excited about how we're doing at the moment. But it is, like I said, I keep saying it was a start. That's all it is at the moment. It's a start. We'll keep pushing. We'll keep plugging away, and we'll see where it goes. Last season, we went 32 unbeaten, and at no point did we think that was going to happen. So, you know, it's just take each game as it comes. And I know it's a boring saying, but that's what we do, and see where it takes us.
But I mean, Jamie as well, I mean, did you ever expect to be saying, you know, looking at it now, you know, we're in, you know, sort of mid-December, you know, played 21, won 13, drew 1, lost 7, 49 goals for, 37 goals against, plus 12, 40 points. Is that what dreams are made of?
I mean, the goals against, nightmares. no, but I think certainly, like, it sounds mad, but I think you look at the games we've lost, there's not many we've come off and we haven't been disappointed with, which I don't know if that's naive, ambitious, what the word is for that, but I think that's just exciting for me, really. And I think coming into the new league, for me personally, at the start of the year was stay up by a point on the last day of the season's a result. So the fact that we're doing as well as we are, you're just taking that opportunity with both hands, you know. It's just, as much success we had last year, for me personally, I think I quite enjoy those games where you have to grind them out, graft them out. Not saying we didn't have to do that as much last year, but, you know, we are getting... You're in games for 105 minutes, 110 minutes. I think we played South Shields as well, well into the 100. So, yeah, they're very enjoyable but tough games.
Mm.
Are you geared to go up?
Sorry?
Are you geared to go up as a club?
I don't know. There's a lot going on behind the scenes.
I think that's the biggest jump, right?
Yes, definitely, you know. I just don't know. I mean, we, you know, the manager's working miracles at the moment, because, you know, the budgets in this league are phenomenal, and we're not anywhere near the top for budget. So what he's doing there is unbelievable. But, you know, with that success that we're having, when we are winning these games, and as I say, we've got such a good, young, talented squad. You know, there are teams coming to watch our games now all of a sudden and showing interest in players, as David very well knows, smiling there. So, it, you know, that's the first thing. We need to hold on to these players now before we really plan anything moving forward.
Because there's always the battle, and I've had it with a lot of clubs that I've been at, you where the budget's not the greatest and you do really well. And then you're putting a lot of boys in the shop window.
Yeah. And we're a fan owned club. We're a fan owned club, so, you know, we haven't got a rich backer there putting lots of money in. So, you know, the club raise the funds themselves and they bring in sponsors and things. But, you know, we are different to these other clubs, you know, where you know, Macclesfield had lots of investment put in there, and I mean, fair play to them, credit to them, and they'll have a lot more now with that FA Cup run they're on, and good luck to them. But we're nowhere near those levels where we are, so the club do have to be careful, and the motto is progress through stability. And you know, there's things going on in the past where there's been real difficult situations at the club, so they determined not to let that happen again. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think we expected to go up this season, or whether we're thereabouts and going, well, this could well be a possibility, you know. So, you know, I'm sure behind the scenes that the board are scrambling now and trying to put things in place and have a look. So
Panicking.
yeah, we'll see how it goes.
But Craig, and I don't know if you ever, you know, I've been to Merthyr a couple of times, and let me just tell you, mate, I would say you'd be very, very hard pushed to find a club, an all-round club in every area, to be as good as Merthyr in non-league. And I mean that sincerely. They are, you know, everybody in the club is absolutely sensational, and the club's, you know, in good, in a really good place. And as soon as you walk in there, you're made to feel welcome. The minute you walk in that door, it's a fantastic club.
Yeah, they're trying hard there, to be fair. You know, it's been, like I said, from where we were, was it 4 years ago before the manager came in, we actually had a relegation and got a reprieve. And so, you know, at that stage, nobody saw us doing what we're doing at the moment. So, you know, the club are trying hard, and we're not in the most wealthy of areas where we are, so it is difficult bringing in those funds. But you know, they are actively trying to bring in sponsorship and get people to come in, and you know, we are close to Cardiff, close to Newport, close to Swansea, who've all been Football League and doing relatively well themselves, which, you know, isn't great then when you're looking at a backer to come in and maybe help you out a little bit. So look, all we can do is just keep pushing and leave all that stuff to people behind the scenes, and that's for the manager and the board to stress over, not for us. We leave it to them.
Craig, I know you was there, sort of the so-called relegation season. Jamie, were you there as well?
Yeah, it was mainly down to him.
I blamed
Yeah.
the manager. No, I think we had a photo when we got promoted last season of, I think it was six or seven boys that were involved in that team. And, you know, for me, I think that just, that should go to show the testament of not only the boys involved, but the job that Paul and all the team have done. And not just them, the club itself. You know, you had seven boys or six boys that got relegated, probably only 15 to 20 points maximum in a season, then 4 or 5 years later win 32 and push for 100 points in a year. So it was a tough old time, wasn't it? But yeah.
If there was a lot of things that had gone on, and you know, we did just come out of COVID, and it was that season where Merthyr decided they weren't even going to play that season. The season ended early, and things like that happened. And Dean Clark and Stephen Williams were in charge, and you know, it was difficult for them putting that squad together. And they did, by the end of it, assemble a very talented squad. Unfortunately for them, they relieved of their duties before that, because it was a bit of a struggle. But the squad that they put together by that stage, you know, a lot of these boys were playing now were in that squad. So there was a very, very talented group there. And yeah, it was tough that season. It was a real, real slog. And I think we stayed up by, I think we finished maybe 1 point, was it, above Wimborne, I believe. And then we had the reprieve and kicked on. But as Jamie said, there was a lot of those boys were there that then got promoted and did unbelievable last season, and are still there this season. So
What
yeah,
was that now? So that was what, 3 seasons ago, wasn't it? So not last season, not
four, I think.
season
I think
ago.
it's yeah, I think it was 4 seasons ago. I think it was 4 seasons ago,
So
maybe.
was it? Because
Yeah.
wasn't it the relegation and just missing out on promotion the following year on playoffs?
Yeah, just missed out on a playoffs season after then.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
then winners the following year,
Yeah.
and then now into this one. So yeah,
Something like that, yes, I think
I
that's about
mean,
right.
what that must again, as I asked you the question, you know, is it a bit of a dream? I mean, you know, on that day, the darkest day, probably one of the darkest days, I don't think you'd probably be looking at sort of 3 or 4 seasons later thinking, Struth, we're going to be somebody come up to you and went, oh, by the way, I've seen in a crystal ball, you're going to be third in, you know, in the National League North. I think you would have turned
Yeah.
around and said, they were completely bonkers.
I think a lot of it as well, like, and testament to Craig and Matt, who stepped in. They were saying to us at the time, and I don't know where this thought come from, it was just don't finish second bottom or second bottom. Weird, strange things are happening, and that was our goal. You know, we were way by the wayside and we were struggling. But do you know, if we'd have tossed it off or thrown it in and we'd have finished second bottom, we wouldn't have had the reprieve. And you know, the world's got a funny way of working. So you know, the fact that we were able to, we had a good little run last six or seven games, I think, and that kept us up, and you know, we would have been going into step four at that point, and any promotion at any level is hard no matter where you are, so we never ever guaranteed to come straight back up. You could still be there now for all we know.
Great story.
It'd be even better at the end of the year when we're talking next year.
That's it.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
And then it would be sports personality of the year, yeah. but listen, guys, I wish you guys, you know, very much to Craig, and of course to James as well, to have a great Christmas. Have a great Christmas as well, football wise. Of course, because next week we've got a recorded show this time next week, and for the Christmas special, and it's a fantastic show. I put some clips out already, and it was a chat that I had about 3 or 4 weeks ago with a gentleman called Chris Whitney. From Corinthian Casuals. And of course, if everybody's seen the documentary on BT Sport, and if you haven't, I recommend you go and give it a search and try and find it. It's called Brothers in Football. And of course, it's the story of Corinthian Casuals, step four side at the time, and their connections with the Brazilian side Corinthians, and their trip to Corinthians when they win a poll that was in there was Barcelona, Real Madrid, Chelsea and Corinthian Casuals were the four teams that we had the fans had the choice to open up the brand new stadium of Corinthians, and 65% of the vote went to Corinthian Casuals, believe it or not, out of those four teams. And they went over there, and you just need to see it because it is phenomenal, the response that they get when they get in the airport. It was literally like the Beatles had come to town. It was they get off the coach. And they get into the ground. They also then go and do a signing session in a supermarket, a bit like Lakeside or something like that for Craig and us knowing, Lakeside. And they had to shut the place down because there was so many people queuing up round the block to actually go and have their autographs with the players. And they even missed a presidential dinner with the British ambassador as well for Brazil, because they had to put it back because there was just so many people there queuing up to get the signatures. You just need to see it. It's a fantastic, and they didn't do too bad in the game either as well. I think they lost 3-0, I think it was, and there were two late goals. We have a great little story and a great little twist at the end of that as well. But it's a great watch. And I say the interview with Chris goes on for about an hour, but it's a fantastic chat, and he goes into all the nitty gritty of what happened and how they managed to get to there in the first place, and what happened when they finally got there. So please watch that at 7 o'clock on the Non-League Roundup YouTube channel next week. Then we'll be putting the links out for that. But a massive thanks to Craig and to Jamie. Wish you all the very best and have a fantastic Christmas. And everybody at home, a massive thank you as well for watching. And we'll be back with another live show at the beginning of January. So from me, thanks for watching and good night.